because of where we grew up, like I always look at the entrances. I look for entrances and exits, and I look at who is in the room with me.
I look for bathrooms.
One of us has stomach issues, one of us
doesn't. This is Married to the Startup, where marital bliss meets entrepreneurial mayhem. George and Alicia have spent over a decade juggling five kids, multiple startups, and a surprising amount of free time. On each episode, they'll dish on the triumphs and meltdowns that come with mixing family and startups, from the boardroom to the bedroom. No topic is off limits. Real and raw. Real and raw. And now your hosts, George, the CEO who traded the corporate grind for sleepless nights and investor tantrums, and Alicia, who swapped a peaceful life for the roller coaster of coaching entitled founders. This is Married to the Startup, where love meets chaos and entrepreneurship reigns supreme.
Welcome to episode 2 of Married to the Startup. I am your host, Alicia McKenzie. Alongside with me is my amazing husband, George McKenzie.
Hi, folks.
And today we are actually going to talk about a topic that is sometimes a little controversial. We have five children. We have five entrepreneurial children, and they are multiracial. So if you did not know, I am half Black, half Mexican. My husband is
full white.
Many, many shades of white.
Yes, yes.
Many shades.
Very light ones.
And together we created four little children that
all look Hispanic.
They all look Hispanic.
And they've got less melanin as they got down the line. So
They definitely vary in shades of melanin.
And their hair is all different.
They all have different hair textures. And one thing that we do a lot with our children is we travel. I know we have a lot of them, but one thing that I told my husband when we first got together is that no matter how many children we had, I would not give up travel.
So. And she's stuck to it. We travel a lot with the kids and we travel without the kids. I think that it's good to do both. And traveling with the kids is obviously a much larger adventure. But I've got some tips on how to get by, but also, you know, share some stories that, you know, maybe you guys could relate to.
But I think the number one thing I look at when we go somewhere is I will pinpoint the amount of brown people that are in the room with me. And I think that as a person of color, that is just something that we all do, which apparently is news to my husband until a few years ago. He had no idea that it was even a thing.
Yeah, I barely notice who's at my table. I don't think I've ever looked around a room to try to look at the racial dynamics or gender, you know, dynamics of a room. Never crosses my mind. Never crossed my mind before, but I do it now. I mean, once you've got it in your brain, you can't not do it.
And I think it's just because of where we grew up. Like I always look at the entrances. I look for entrances and exits, and I look at who is in the room with me.
I look for bathrooms.
One of us has stomach issues. One of us doesn't. But it's also when you have children, I'm just a lot more observant and aware of what's going on, who's in the room, how they're looking at my kids. It's in my mom DNA. I'm very much a mama bear. And I'm quick to notice when somebody is either standing a little too close or maybe just eyeing Michaela the wrong way. But it's definitely something that my husband was not aware of until I asked him about it a few years ago.
Yeah, no, definitely was not part of my upbringing or part of my everyday life. But I would agree that, you know, with kids, it's different. Like for me, you know, I'm very unobservant, I guess is the right way to say that. But with my kids, it's always, are they being treated fairly or unfairly because of either me or because of them? And then talking to them, it's always interesting to hear their takes because they're always so unbiased, right? They've grew up with the luxury of not having been told or having been trained on, hey, you have to do X, Y, or Z because you're different, or you have to treat other people X, Y, or Z because they're different. So it's interesting to hear, especially as Maddox has gotten older, and they talk about, did you know? Did you live during segregation? I'm like, no, I'm not that old. Maybe grandma did, but not me. But he's like, me and Ian couldn't have been friends. And I'm like, wow. The fact that, you know, he's putting these things together, it's pretty crazy.
But then it's interesting that he sees himself as being Black. But then when we go to a place like, I'll just say Richmond, he's like, Mom, I'm not Black. I'm like, well, you're half Black. He's like, but I don't look like these people. I'm like, yeah, you look like you.
Yeah.
Your skin color is special to you. It's a mixture of me and your father.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting on how these little things pop up, and they're all very innocent. And I think it's really important to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then treat it it's a part of your regular conversation, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Last year, we actually had a really, really big travel year. In July, we were gone for 3 weeks, and we started in Minnesota. My Mexican side of the family lives in Iowa, and the closest airport is 2 hours away in Minnesota.
And I got to live out the dream. We rented a Sprinter van.
Oh,
we got to drive it around Iowa. For those of you that don't know, I really want a Sprinter van. Cool. And I want it macked out in the back with the TV and the reclining seats.
Everybody knows, because you've never stopped talking about this Sprinter van.
I just need to get it.
We're not getting a Sprinter van. It's not happening.
I want it.
So in order to feed his urge, I rented a very beautiful Sprinter van, and we drove it from Minnesota, and we drove it to my grandmother for her 86th birthday, and we surprised her, and it was the cutest thing ever, because it's the very first time that she has met all five of her grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren.
Great. Is it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, great-grandchildren. She's your grandmother.
It's my grandma. Yeah, so she met five of her great-grandchildren, and we had this big old dinner full of all these children, and it was the coolest thing in the world. But when you go to Iowa, it's just really interesting to see my kids when they're like, wow, there's like nothing here except for cows, corn, and
the Mall of America.
The Mall of America.
I liked it. I mean, I grew up in a small town. So for me, I like the taking our kids to see things that they don't see every day. Like not a big city, not a place where there's 1,000 things to do every day with lights and games and everything, and a house that's got plenty of room where everyone can go be off to themselves. What you went to your grandmother's house and all in the living room, because there's really nowhere else to go.
Absolutely. And it still smells the same. I've been going to this house since I was like 7 years old, and it smells like my grandmother's house. I have a thing with scents. You'll find that out sooner or later. But we took them. They met their grandmother. We stayed in this little tiny hotel. They played a giant Uno in the lobby.
Yeah. So any tips on booking airline tickets? Because we have, when we travel, it's a party of seven.
No, it's a party of eight.
You're right. It is a party of eight.
We travel as a party of eight because my mom usually comes with us wherever we go. I think the biggest thing you can do is set up Google Flights and set up the tracker, because I track flights probably, like, we have a general idea of when or where we're going somewhere. And I will set up Google Flights. I will track that flight. And then as soon as it drops, I will purchase it right then.
And I think the other thing we talked about in one of our blogs is, you know, the being cognizant of the aircraft you're getting on and what the seating configurations are is a big deal. And don't be those people that buy the cheap tickets all spread out and then try to get people to move around so you can get your family together. There's nothing more annoying than that. Yeah. When you book the tickets, just book them all together.
Yeah, book them all together. I know Southwest does a really good job.
Southwest does a good job. Don't, I think that should be stricken from the record and never put on the air. Southwest does not do a great job.
We don't fly Southwest.
I don't fly Southwest.
Okay, he doesn't fly
Southwest.
We flew it once from, I think,
Grand Cayman home.
Terrible. It was really bad.
It was really bad.
It was a really smelly airplane.
It was.
As he was mentioning, like, pay attention to the kind of aircraft you're getting on. And yeah, try to get all of your seats together, because people, and I get it, like, nobody wants to move for a child, and I don't want to have to ask you to move. It makes it awkward for everybody. Just book all your seats at once.
Yeah. You remember that time we were in first class and we had, Michaela had her seat and she was like three?
I think she was three.
Three, and she was in a car seat. I think her seat was
I booked her in the bulkhead, because when I fly, I usually put them in a car seat when they're that young, so they don't want to get in and out of their seat. So I booked the bulkhead row and I put her in the window in the bulkhead, and I could not get the seat next to her. So I had to book like
a seat across the aisle.
No, I was two rows behind her.
Oh, okay.
And the woman next to her would not move.
Yeah, they were both aisle seats. It was just two rows back.
It was just two rows back. And like, I guess she had a thing where she wanted to stick her feet out straight in front of her and like be on the bulkhead.
Long story short,
that she flew next to our 3-year-old for the whole flight.
For the whole flight. And the flight attendant was great. Like, she came back because I was really upset. I'm like, who doesn't move so a mom can sit next to her 3-year-old? And I mean, it was 2 first class seats. It's not like I'm asking her to move to
get to a middle.
Yeah, right? Like middle seat in row 30. It was row 3.
Yeah.
And she would not move. So the flight attendant came back and she's like, don't worry. I will make sure that she's okay. So on and so forth. Yeah. And like, she gave Michaela extra ice cream. And by the end of the flight, Michaela is so charismatic. If you ever meet her, she has never met a stranger. Like, she can literally talk to anybody and like have the greatest conversation.
Yeah. And so, little did that woman know that she was going to be engaged in a conversation with a 3-year-old for a 5-hour flight.
And it was so, by the end of it, like, she was actually enjoying Michaela's company. Yeah. So it was really sweet, but it started off a little traumatic.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to divert you off the task there, but you can book the seats in the same row together.
It'll make it less stressful for everybody. And just don't try to rush. You can't rush with children.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've had to learn.
There's no more like cutting it close. Like, just get there an hour and a half early. Like, when it's just us, sure, we show up like 20 minutes before our flight and we just walk right on. But when you have kids, it's really hard to be in a hurry. So just pack your sense of humor and pack your patience.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is when it comes to packing, like, everybody gets their own suitcase for the most part. And there's things that you can save money on, but checked bags is normally not one, because you end up overstuffing a bag, or in our case, you get 2 kids arguing with each other about what they want to put in the bag and separating the bags once you get there. But an hour and a half in the airport, and it goes quick once you get through screening. And even if you're there an hour early, finding a snack and then just sitting down, I don't think it's a arduous task to do with kids. And we're not one of those people either that have the string backpack where you've got your kids on a leash.
Even though that may change for Maya. She's
We haven't used it yet. Okay. We haven't done it yet.
Yet.
So we are in Iowa.
We're in Iowa. And then where do we go from there?
We flew from Iowa to the great state of Washington.
We did. We flew to Seattle, Washington. It was our first time. The weather was perfect. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Apparently. I mean, that's the weird thing about that whole trip. It was like sunny and 70.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
The entire time. I guess like it's a well-known fact that it never rains during the summer in Seattle, Washington, but it's only known amongst people from Washington.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. They were like, don't tell anybody because then everybody will come here. Like, the weather was absolutely perfect. So we went from Iowa to Seattle, and then we went from Seattle to Victoria.
Yeah. And Seattle was amazing. Like, with the kids, and because we have such a wide range of age, bifurcating the activities. So, what we learned when we were in Europe is, we took a long vacation in Europe, and the little ones, you get out first thing in the morning and you do an activity for the whole family from like 9 a.m. to 11. Then you come back and the little ones are done. So you leave them in the hotel room with grandma, and then you take the older ones and go back out and do a more adultish activity.
Yeah, so they each got to do their own little thing. They had a blast. And then we hopped on a ferry. Maddox got really sick.
Yeah, note to everyone, don't let your 7-year-old eat 3 donuts and chug water on a ferry across the, I don't know what body of water that is, but it was really choppy.
It was really choppy. I didn't expect it to be that bad. And normally he's good. He doesn't get seasick. I think it was just the combination of the really bad breakfast choice and the ton of water that we just kind of poured on it. He, poor boy, he lost it all. But we made it to Victoria and it was beautiful there. I think it was Canada Day.
I know. The boat docked and we're like, wow, what are all these people doing here? And, the Canadian flags and people face painted, and there was little tents everywhere with on tchotchkes and candy and popcorn and everything else. And like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was really cool. So we were there on Canada Day, and then we went from Victoria to Vancouver, did a bunch of, this is how we got our puppy. I have always wanted to ride a seaplane. And that is that little plane that takes off from the water and then lands in the water. And my risk-averse husband did not want to ride a seaplane. So he didn't want to ride a seaplane. I did not want a new puppy. We both got what we wanted.
Yes. The compromise was made.
The compromise was made. If I can ride on a seaplane, you can get a puppy. And honestly, I thought he was kidding, because who buys a puppy when you're in Canada?
Oh, I bought it off the internet right then and there.
100%. When we fly separately, I send a wheels up, wheels down text message. I sent a wheels down text message. Within 15 minutes, I got a response that he had put a deposit down on our new puppy. So, moral of the story.
Life is about compromise.
Is it?
It is.
And now we have the cutest little puppy. Her name is Olive. But we had to send her out for training. It was just a lot more hassle than I thought it would be. But yeah, I got to ride on my seaplane. He got a new puppy. I feel like the deal was not quite even. But it
I don't think it was even.
I don't think so. My ride lasted like 30 minutes. Your compromise is going to last like 13 years.
Well, there's lots of things that last 30 minutes, that the outcome of which lasts a lifetime. So I think the puppy is the least of your problems.
Indeed. Indeed. We went from Victoria to Vancouver, and then we hopped on a Disney cruise, and we took a 7-day cruise with our kids, and we didn't lose anybody. And then from Vancouver, we kind of split up. The oldest girl had to go back to Virginia because she had volleyball, and then we took the rest of the kids to South Carolina. They got to extend their summer a little bit. But I think moral of the story is when you're traveling with kids, things are going to go wrong.
Yeah. And I think we're a firm believer in every kid has their own bag and they're responsible for their own bag. And then every kid has their own backpack, which is what they take on the plane. I can't recommend a Disney cruise enough. I mean, I love it. We've been doing it for a long time. And the Disney cruise to Alaska, I mean, I've never been. That was our first trip to Alaska ever. And I guess I had some preconceived notions of cold, snow, always dark or always light. I think always light. It was none of those things. It was picturesque. It was gorgeous, like going down the canals and seeing the fjords, I guess is maybe the right term, but it's like Jurassic Park, looking at the green hillsides and these tiny little towns that are, you know, only accessible by water or plane. It was really untouched by man. It's a complete different look than, you know, the urban environments our kids find themselves in every day.
Definitely. And I think it was also the exposure to like the different cultures, right? Like we were going through Ketchikan and we were just walking down the street and all these little side shops, and the people that were running them, they were just so proud of like what they were offering, right? Like I think we, where's that one little store that we got that blanket from?
Yeah.
His wife made everything, and he, like, they run two different stores, but it's just like, they're so proud of their culture and they're so proud of like what they were offering. And it's just really cool to be able to expose the kids to like all these different people, different ways of life.
I think it's important to get perspective and intention. Like, so how do you live a life with intention without perspective of knowing, you know, what's out there, what's available, what do you want to do?
But also when you're on a cruise, you don't have access to Wi-Fi, which is really great because it's basically 7 days of like no technology.
Well, things are changing. That's so annoying.
I know.
Rant time. But yeah, now it used to be that way. We used to go on the cruise. Wi-Fi was terrible and it was expensive. So you never got it. And we would just put our phones, lock them in the safe, and we'd have 7 days with our kids without technology. Now you need the app to get to the navigator. You need the app to get to this. You need, and then Wi-Fi is everywhere and you can't go anywhere without someone selfieing or vlogging or, you know, video YouTubing, whatever.
You realize you're now a content creator, right?
I just talk. My view is I just put it out into the world. If people want to consume it, that's on them. Yeah. I'm not curating my life. I just put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ever walk down an aisle of the Disney cruise with my camera and my tripod doing some catchy, you know, conversation to try to get eyeballs on my 30-second snippet on Instagram.
I think you're still one of the only people I know that don't have an Instagram.
Or Facebook, or I have nothing.
Or Facebook. Well, you have LinkedIn.
I do.
You do.
Yeah.
Good job. Proud of you.
You shouldn't be. I don't do anything with it.
You're a little tirade about Wi-Fi.
Sorry. But yeah, the Disney cruise is amazing.
It is amazing. We are very intentional about what we do with our kids and what we expose them to. So we want to expose them to being uncomfortable, but we also want to make sure that it's within our control.
The Disney cruise is a good example of that, is you're on a cruise ship, so it's a controlled environment of where they can go, but you allow them, or we allow them, at dinner, the boys go to the bathroom by themselves, and they're out of sight. You don't see them. They run. They know where they're going.
Which is still terrifying.
Yeah, but, you know, that's part of growing up. I mean, you know, when I was their age, I was out till dark doing God knows what, playing around with, you know, people in my neighborhood. So come a long way.
You want them to be independent, but also they're crazies out there.
Yeah.
People are nuts. I think the Disney cruise it's reality light.
Yeah. And Disney cruises, you know, are expensive,
But, you know, we started our first Disney cruise. This was,
oh my gosh,
this was early DPS days. This was early DPS.
We were so broke, but I mean, it was, travel was still important to us. So like we financed our first Disney cruise on, it was like on a credit card.
It was a Disney card.
Yeah. I opened a Disney card and it was like, I don't want to say nominal, yeah, but it doesn't like, it wouldn't impact.
Yeah, we were a porthole view at the waterline, but yeah, the experience was incredible. So you don't have to blow it out to have a great experience. You can make luxury less expensive, but you just have to be intentional about doing it. Like, don't fly Southwest.
But Ava started with us when she was 2 years old. We were on the second deck. We had a porthole view. And now this year we're doing, we call it her final cruise because after that she turns 18 and then she's going to have to pay for her own stuff. But we're taking her to Spain. We're doing a Mediterranean cruise and she's going to be like on one of the top decks. So this poor girl has like worked her way up from the very bottom.
Yep. And until her 18, she's getting an inside stateroom on deck 2.
Literally to the top. And then next year when she turns 18, she's going to have to buy her own stateroom. So sorry, kid, you're off the payroll.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Dunsky.
Dunsky.
Listening to Married to the Startup. These two crazy people have spent over a decade juggling 5 kids and multiple startups and discussing everything from the boardroom to the bedroom. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Married to the Startup. And be sure to hit the website at www.marriedtothestartup.com. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time.